Have you ever wondered what death doulas talk about when they get together? This podcast is offered to you by the Death Doula Ontario Network as they gather to talk about all things related to death, dying, and grief. Founder and director Olga Nikolaev and members of the Death Doula Ontario Network gather and share their powerful personal and professional experiences with end-of-life care. Death Doula Chats are our stories about our experiences with offering and providing end-of-life care support in our communities. We hope and pray that our words have a healing impact on your own experience and assist you in learning about death doulas and end-of-life care support. The network's mission is to gather death doulas across Ontario and serve as their educational and business collaborative community of practice. The network's vision is to increase public knowledge and death literacy, enhance end-of-life care skills, and provide up-to-date end-of-life care resources and information. In addition, the Death Doula Ontario Network is part of a global movement, a world mission to better educate, advocate, and empower everyone in their end-of-life journey. So I want to welcome today Catherine Moore from Toronto. And right off the bat, I'm going to ask Catherine, what motivated you to become an end-of-life or death doula?
Hello, I'm very happy to be here. My passion started about 5 years ago. I was being a caregiver to my parents. Shortly after I retired, they both began to decline. And once they passed, I felt quite a gap in my life. And then I had a friend who died of pancreatic cancer, and we did a circle of care for that individual. And it really kind of motivated me, and I felt so good about what we had done. And then I think what happened, I'm also a voice actor, and I was narrating an e-learning class on childbirth, and they were talking about the role of a doula, a birth doula. And I didn't think much of it, but then a friend of mine sent me something about an end-of-life death doula, and the lights just went on. Why not take the same transferable skills that a birth doula uses and apply them? And then so that's what inspired me.
That's wonderful, Catherine. Thanks for sharing. I want to pick up on your story of this fact of circle of care. Oftentimes within our doula world, we talk about the fact that we are not replacing anyone on the care team, that we're there to enhance the care and offer that circle of care. So it's quite interesting how in the non-medical way, people also gather around the person who may be chronically ill, terminally ill, or at the time of dying, very similar, as you said, to a birth doula. So having lots of folks to offer support to the family, not only the birthing, or in our case, the dying person, but also those people who are in relationship with them, who care for them, who are part of the process. That's lovely. So let us ask, what kind of services in your specific practice do you offer to client families?
Well, I'm a newbie because I took the course. I've been on this journey, and I was inspired to take the course through Douglas College, and I just graduated in the end of October. It was a wonderful course, and really learned so much. And then did practical work at Yihong Hospice in Toronto, and I'm still volunteering there every week, and quite enjoy it. So, what my plan is to be, what I really get inspired about is the emotional part, whether it is before or after, providing just the little things that can make all the difference in someone having a good end of life experience and their family having that, or it being chaotic. So just trying to lower the temperature. So that's what I envision, but I'm still very new at the game.
lowering the temperature. What an interesting phrase to attempt to be the eye in the storm or bring the sense of peace or calm during quite a turbulent time for folks. Absolutely. And I really appreciate also the notion of, you know, what often end-of-life doulas, death doulas are drawn to is companioning, offering to sit with, sometimes even in silence, which can be very, very powerful for people to have somebody bear witness to their experience without kind of the intrusion of advice or redirection or what have you. I really appreciate that in the role that we play in our client families. And I can also imagine that, not imagine, I know for myself that it can sometimes be quite difficult. You know, we need to also have not only mental capacity, but also emotional capacity to be able to hold that space for others during that turbulent time. And so what do you do for yourself, Catherine, when it comes to self-care? How do you keep yourself centered or balanced as a way of reducing some of the maybe negative impact of some of this work? You know, oftentimes, not only for end-of-life doulas, but palliative care folks, healthcare providers, now considering all of the stress, may experience caregiver burden or compassionate fatigue. So what specifically do you do that might be helpful for others as a way of helping to preserve, restore, rejuvenate? What are your self-care techniques or skills or tips?
Well, I do several things. I know I have self-awareness, so kind of like treading water. I know when my head's above water and it's okay and I'm doing fine. And then sometimes, you know, the water can creep up and then, you know, you really need to take a step back. So I do several things. I meditate daily, and that is very helpful. I find that it really has a calming effect, and I do mindfulness meditation as well. I belong to the Y, and I work out, but I love the workout and the social interaction that you get from belonging to an active and great organization. But I also love the steam room as well. So find that really helps and keeps me very relaxed. And I walk every day as well. So I do a number of things, and I have a little granddaughter, so she's just sunshine. And that really is a good way too. So family connections, friends, keeping social, and being just really doing a reality check and seeing like, how am I doing?
I love the fact that your share is so multifaceted. I think that sometimes we may think that self-care is only taking care of the physical or the mental, but I can see from your share how valuable it is to have these different coping strategies. You know, part of it is taking time to not pay attention to some of the thoughts and be in the state of meditation or mindfulness. I can see the benefit of going to the gym and interacting with folks, having some of that physicality as well as the steam room. Yeah, I can totally appreciate that. And then engaging in connection, that's a really key piece in our self-care. How do we do that? Not only in our social circles, but also within our family or the kids or the pets or the puppies or the kitties that actually bring us some of that childlike joy. Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful self-care skills. So here's the million-dollar question. Catherine, what do you think the future holds for death doulas, end-of-life doulas in maybe 5-10 years from now? What do you envision our particular state of affairs being in this line of work?
I think it's really going to expand. And I think what's happening now, just from my work at the hospice, I'm learning that there definitely is a need for it. But there's also, there's an education that needs to happen, because there's sometimes confusion with the role. Does it have anything to do with MAID? No, we know about MAID, but we're not connected with MAID. Which is the medically assisted. So that in itself is just education, and people get confused by the name, like what is a doula, and it's a birth doula, an end of life or death doula. And so really the education, once people just, I was involved when personal support workers went from healthcare aides to personal support workers. And at that time, nobody really knew what a PSW was. And now that's just common language. Well, I envision the same thing, that there needs buy-in from levels of government, and there needs an understanding, because there's sometimes a confusion when you explain it. So we need a very quick way to say what it is, and that people understand it. And pretty well everyone has been through an experience of death, and they just, why wouldn't you want it to be a good one?
Why wouldn't you want it to be a good one? Absolutely. I know for me, I have been part of this movement for more than likely the doula movement in the last 10 years. And so education has been a big part of my own work in relationship to dispelling some of the myths and misconceptions of the doula role, but also educating folks about end of life care. So what is available, how we can start those conversations a lot earlier so that people can better plan, so that they can have not only less suffering and pain, but potentially more beauty, more healing, more ways of connecting before they leave. Absolutely. So Catherine, how can people reach you if they wanted to connect with you and maybe have a conversation around how you can help their family, especially if they're in Toronto? What's the best way for them to reach you?
Just send me an email. It's Catherine, Catherine_Moore52@yahoo.ca.
And Moore is spelled Moore. There you go. Perfect. Thank you so much, Catherine, for joining us. And thank you for all of you for spending time with the Death Doula Ontario Network and our members. We hope that you will return to listen to our collective stories on this Death Doula Chats podcast.